11. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this new year you have given us. We thank you for just being with us throughout the past year, and we look forward to all that you will do in the year to come. And we just pray you would bless us this day through your word, and just guide us into your truth, and help us to have the proper perspective as we head into this new year. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And with the dawning of a new year, I think we all have a sense, we wonder what is to come, and we cannot, of course, predict the future. We want to look forward in hope and not fear or dread, that there's quite a lot out there, of course, with the Mayan calendar ending in 2012, that there's different thoughts of, oh, well, the world's going to end, and people are worried about that, and we kind of, it might just be that that's as far as they got before they were overtaken, and that's what it was, but you never know. But I think with all of us, that we want to look forward to a year in hope and not in fear or dread. We want desire for it to be the best year yet. That throughout this season, we've said we wish people Merry Christmas and we wish them a Happy New Year. And we wish that on others and we wish that on ourselves. And I think as believers, we desire for all a year that is truly happy. And not in the sense of just happiness for the moment, but happiness that is lasting, enduring joy for people around us. And we look at this and we think of how the year has been, and we look forward to the year to come. Along with it always comes the tradition of New Year's resolutions, of things that we want to start doing or stop doing. And the expectation is if we make these changes to our lives, then naturally it's going to make our year happier, that the one that is to come. And so all these things are naturally going through our mind this time of year. But I want to be a help to you. I want to kind of challenge your thinking a bit. Think of things from perhaps a different and fresh perspective. There is much that's going to occur this year. Much that we don't have any control over. The weather, for one. Of course, there hasn't been a lot of snow. We sure got a lot of rain this past week, which was a little unexpected. But we can't predict how the weather's going to be for planting the crops or anything. We can't predict the economy. We can't predict the world affairs. There's plenty going on in Iran and North Korea. We don't know exactly what's going to happen with those. But we recognize that having a happy and a blessed New Year is not based on the circumstances we will face. It's rather really our attitude and our focus as we face those circumstances, whatever they might be. And as we think of our New Year's resolution, the question I want to ask you, and it's a question I want to ask myself as well, I want you to ask yourself, is what shall I resolve to pursue in the year to come? What will we be chasing after, each of us? What is the goal that you seek to achieve? That if you reach that goal this year, that you say, well, I've achieved what I wanted to, it's a happy year, I've done what I wanted to accomplish. And it's a question that we ask ourselves because we know, first of all, that we need to have some direction in our lives. Someone has said if we aim at nothing, we'll hit it every time. That we want to have a direction, we want to have a goal in mind, and even though it might be something that might take us all the year to achieve it, at least we're going in the right direction and we have a focus. And secondly, we want to make sure that what we're pursuing is worthwhile. We don't want to spend our whole year pursuing after something and finding that once we reach it, that it was pointless or empty, that there was something else that we should have pursued. It'd be kind of like a dog chasing a car, that we dog catches it, but then what does it do with the car? It can't do anything with it. And that's how we can find it. There's a lot of things in life that we could pursue after that we might get it, but then was it really worth having? Was the pursuit really worthwhile? So the question is, what will each of us pursue after in 2012? And we look at the world around us and we recognize that there's many things that people will pursue after. And being in the world, it's naturally for our thinking conformed to the world. And so we may find ourselves pursuing after these things as well. And they may not necessarily be evil things. They're something that's common to man. Many we would recognize will pursue after success. And whatever they put their hand to, that they want to be successful. They want things to go well, to not be a failure, looked at as a failure in any way. They want to have a successful business, want to have a successful marriage and family life. But of course, there's two challenges with as we seek after success, is that there's no standard measurement for success that we can calculate. That, and we find that sometimes what the world would say is successful and what God says is successful may be two completely different things. And sometimes, of course, we want to be successful with everything. I want to be successful in business and successful with my family. But sometimes we find it's not a choice of both. It's kind of one or the other. That we don't want to be so successful in business that we forsake our family. We want to get our priorities right. We want to get things in the right order. But it's not always easy to get things straight and to keep them straight in our lives. We recognize many will pursue after status, the desire to become better known, to be raised in prominence, to get noticed, to have greater influence. And we recognize that this pursuit, in many ways, we could say, well, that's kind of self-focused, that that's not really something necessarily we should pursue after. But we recognize that many will. But we would say, well, maybe don't pursue after status, but would pursue simply after significance. That we want our lives to count for something. We want to make a difference in our life. We don't want to just live and die and have no impact on the world. We don't want to go from January of 2012 to January of 2013 and have it just kind of have passed through and not have made any difference. We pursue significance. Many this year as well will pursue security with the world economic situation up in the air, never knowing what's going to happen. I think many want to work to ensure that they're as financially secure as possible. They want to improve their portfolio. They want to find every means possible to be able to weather the storm that might come. And of course, there's no way of predicting, and so a person wants to do kind of keep their bases covered. But of course, the challenge with this pursuit is that nothing might happen at all. And so all that time of worrying and trying to make things come together may not be necessary. And the other thing might be is that it might end up being so bad that no matter what you did to prepare, it's not going to be enough. And so we can try to pursue that, but it's something we may not find no matter how hard we try. And I think many, and indeed most people, in one way or another, this year will seek satisfaction, will seek fulfillment, to have enough, to get to a point where we enjoy life to its fullest. And many might seek many different ways of trying to achieve this. Some might not be evil in themselves, some might be something that is not a good thing. Many that might pursue after things of this world, that they might try in vain to fill a hole in their life and only find that it's emptier still in the end. And so we can look at these various pursuits, these things that we recognize people all around us pursue after and that we pursue in one form or another. And we could contemplate, well, which is the best pursuit to have? But as believers, we recognize that we're called to something much higher to pursue. That we can pursue after all these various things one by one and we'll always fall short. But yet, if we pursue after this one thing, that we'll find all these other things as well. And so what is it that we're to pursue? It is not something, but it is someone. That in this year of 2012, that we are to pursue after God Himself. That we're called upon to seek the Lord. We're commanded to do so wherever and wherever we are in our lives, whether we're sinners or saints. We see in Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We see as well in Acts chapter 17, Paul gave the sermon on Mars Hill. And he says in verse 27 of mankind that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. That it's God's desire for mankind to seek after him, for those who are sinners to turn unto him. But we see it as well spoken to the saints in Psalm chapter 27 and verse 8, a Psalm of David. 27 verse 8, it says, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." We see as well in Psalm 105, in verse 3, it says, "Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore." And so we recognize that the Lord desires for us to seek him, to pursue after him this day, this year, and for the rest of our lives. The idea that we might know him, that we would experience him, that we would have a relationship with him and have it be deeper than anything we've ever experienced before. Where God to us is not just a theological concept, but a clear reality. That he is, we recognize him as our Lord and Savior, but we have him be as our companion and our friend through life. That he's real to us in that sense. We see the Apostle Paul, his desire given in Philippians 3, verse 10. He said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." That he desired that. He wanted to know the Lord. And then he says that he hadn't obtained already, he wasn't already perfect. Verse 12, he says, "But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That everything he had, everything he was, that he put it aside, he counted it all but loss, because he wanted to know the Lord. He wanted to follow after him and press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was his pursuit. And we recognize that in the Lord that we find all that we ever sought for, that we could not find anywhere else. We recognize that in the Lord that we can find success, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that if we abide in him, we can bring forth much fruit, for without him we can do nothing. We desire to have status, but we recognize 1 Timothy 5 verse 6 where it says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time." That if we go to him, that he can do that in time. We desire significance. We desire a life that would count. And we read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." That we know if we follow him, if we do his bidding, if we do as he directs us, that our lives are going to count for eternity. That lives are going to make a difference. And we desire satisfaction. We desire that completeness. And we find that in him. We read this morning in as we began, Psalm chapter 63, where he said, "Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." And we see Verse 5, the statement there made in Psalm 63 where it says, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness." That it's the idea of when you have a really good steak and it's done to perfection, that you not only eat the steak, but you're sucking the bones because they taste so good, that it's just so satisfying. That's the thing, that the Lord, our soul shall be satisfied when we seek the Lord, that we're not going to be ashamed if we seek Him. We desire security, desire with everything going on in this world to have things looked after. But we recognize in the Lord, it says, Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That we can know whatever will happen, that He is going to look after us. We read in Matthew 28, verse 20, when He gave the Great Commission, that He ended it saying, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." That if we have Him in our life, if He is looking after us, that we don't have to be concerned. We read in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 31, He says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things to the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's the thing, that we seek all these other things. And then we seek God if we have time. And of course, we usually end up running out of time. But when we do that these things essentially become idols in our hearts, that we put them before the Lord, that we're pursuing these things, and that even we pursue God in hopes that we get these things. But if we put Him first in our hearts, if we put Him first in our priority list, we will find all that we sought in Him, that He will bless us in that way. And so wherever we're at in our Christian life, whether we're just newborn babes in Christ, or whether we've been in the Lord a long time, whether we're have a healthy relationship with the Lord, or maybe we've slid away and we're not where we should be, we've lost our focus, that in any place that we are, that we can always draw closer to Him, that He calls upon us to seek Him, to pursue after Him. And we recognize, as it says in Acts, that He's not very far from us, that He is a God that can be found. He wants us to find Him. And so, as we think of this, that we ponder what it is that we are to pursue after, we recognize it's not what, but who that we are pursue, we recognize as well in this, that if we are to pursue after God, that it does require persistence. That we pursue something because it's worth getting. And because it's worth getting, you keep up the pursuit, you see it through. That it's something that if you start to chase it, and something, and then you say, "Well, no, I'm just going to give up," then in your estimation, well, it's not worth the pursuit. It's just the same as if you're hunting and you see a really big buck and you really want to get it because you know it'll be a big trophy and it'll have a lot of meat, and you say, "Well, I'm going to keep on that thing. I'm going to pursue it as long as I can and try to get it." That's part of the thrill of the hunt, is to be able to pursue and finally catch what you're getting. And it never feels good when you're going after something and you have to stop, that you can't, it's on someone's land that you can't go into and you can't go any further. That pursuit takes persistence, that's how it works. And we think of different resolutions that we make every New Year's, and that in order to make them, that it requires a resolution in our lives, a resolve, a determination. That's kind of the sad thing. A lot of times we make New Year's resolutions November 1st, and then January 1st rather, and then by the end of January we find that we've already not kept our resolutions, and it's because of a lack of resolve. That we want to have that persistence, and we recognize that with God. God is not far from us. God is not playing tricks with us or hide and seek or anything like that. He wants us to pursue after him, and he wants us to find him, but he wants us to seek him with our whole heart, that as we do that, that he will be found of us. And we see that in the passage that we read at the beginning, where it says, Hebrews 11 verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That the idea of diligence is, we understand it, it's the sense that you work hard, that it's something that we usually have to learn when we're young. That I know when I started working with my dad when I was 12, that it was not something that you really wanted to make it all the way through the day. You didn't think that you could. Your hands are getting blistered and you're getting tired, and you say, "Well, Dad, I want to stop." And he's like, "No, you got to keep working right till the end." And you weren't allowed to sit down or take a load off. That it requires a diligence, and that's an important thing that we recognize all through life and work that we do and anything that we go after, that we need to be diligent in it, that we give it our full effort or our complete focus. And that's what the Lord wants of us, that we would diligently seek him, that it becomes our focus, it becomes our obsession in a way, that we want to diligently seek after him. That we recognize, of course, that there's part of us, our new nature, that desires to seek after God as a Christian, but there's still that flesh that wants to do everything it can to get in the ways and distract us and discourage us, so that we never draw near to him as we desire. And so it is necessary for us to have a persistence, to keep seeking him, to keep drawing near to him, to bring our bodies under subjection so that we may seize hold of spiritual things. And we see the principle given in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, where it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, for when ye shall search for me with all your heart." That so often we find that there's different things that we do, especially when it comes to the spiritual, that we can get distracted and dissuaded from it quickly. That we can go things kind of half-hearted, and we never really accomplish what we desire. But we want to pursue after him, that we want to search for him with all our heart, that God is a God that wants to be found, and he wants us to be persistent in seeking after him. That we see that Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 11, that he said unto his disciples, verse 9 of Luke 11, he says, "I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." And from what I understand with the kind of the way the Greek verb is with this, that it's the idea that we ask and we keep asking is the sense of the word, that we seek and we keep seeking, that we knock and we keep knocking, that we don't just do it once, that we're persistent in it. That as we do that, that we will receive, we will seek, and we will find, and it shall be opened unto us. And it says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" That we would seek after him, that as we do that, that he is, we can trust that he is not evil, that he is going to so much more give unto us of himself. That we read there that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It speaks in another place in the scriptures where it says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." That there is a reward that he wants to give unto us. And of course, in our mindset, we kind of think as an award, well, maybe he's going to bless me lots, or he's going to prosper me and I'm going to have a full bank account and everything. But really, I think when we think of God's real reward and his blessings, monetary blessings are such a very small and insignificant part of the real blessings that he wants to give us, that can be something, but in comparison to all that he wants to give us, it's just such a small thing that he wants to impart to us himself. He wants to give us of his fullness. He wants to be a part of our life and change us from the inside out, make us different than we ever were before. He wants to have us blessed just by being in his presence, of seeing that with the eyes of faith that it is real, that we can trust in him as many of these people in the Old Testament that we read of in Hebrews 11, that they had faith in God and they walked with God as Enoch did, and God blessed them. We think of Abraham, who was the friend of God, and God was with him wherever he went. We think of Moses, who, when he came to years, that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, that he forsook Egypt. And it says that he, as one seeing him who is invisible, that it was a thought that he had this closeness with God, that there rose not man like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And that we would desire that we would seek after him, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So as this year begins, we don't know all that is to happen, but we kind of have the sense that at least if we get pointed in the right direction, that's going to make a lot of difference to the way our year goes. And it's something that I want to encourage each of you, and it's a challenge I want to give to unto myself as well, that each of us would make this our focus this year more than anything else, that we would pursue after God. That through his word, that we would seek him each day, that it isn't something that we do because just why a Christian is supposed to read the Bible, but instead that we seek him through the word, that we seek to know him better, and that it's not just the idea of knowing him kind of theologically or philosophically, but knowing him as a person, because he is real, he is genuine, he's not just a concept that we can argue about, that he's a real person that we want to meet, that we want to have him be a part of our life, that we would seek him through his word. As the hymn said that we sang, that beyond the sacred page I seek thee, Lord, that we want to see him speak to us through his word. We want to seek him through prayer, that we cry out to him, that we spend time, that again it's not just something that we do because, well, I'm a Christian and a good Christian prays, that it's just kind of part of my cycle, but instead that we just say, Lord, I want to seek you, I want to know you better, I want to have you show me in my life who you are and what you have for me to do, that we would pursue after him. And may it be something that we can encourage one another in this, that we would know the Lord more intimately, that we'd experience his presence and his power in his lives more than we ever have before. That there's times in our lives that where the Lord has been close to us, that we rejoice and we think of even the time when we first came to the Lord and trusted him as our Savior, of how close we were and how wonderful it felt, that we know that so often in our Christian life that kind of zeal and fervor kind of wanes, but we desire, well, why couldn't I get that back? Why couldn't it be better than it was even before that? And so may the Lord help us that this year that we would diligently seek him with our whole heart, that we recognize that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so may we seek him so that he may impart himself to us in this year of 2012. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are and for your word. And we just cry unto you, Lord, that we desire to know you more. We desire to pursue after you, Lord, and we might find you in a way that we have not before. And We just pray, Lord, that you would work in us and through us and amongst us, Lord, and bless this year, Lord, as we put you first and as we seek you above all other things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, number 357. Number 357. On the first verse, number 357.
Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee, e'en though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be nearer. My God to thee, nearer, my God to thee, nearer to thee. Though like the wanderer, the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone. Yet in my dreams I be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. There let the way appear, steps unto heaven, all that thou sendest me in mercy give. Angels still beckon me nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Then with my waking thoughts bright with thy praise, out of my stony Greece, Bethel I raise. So by my woes to be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Or if on joyful wing, cleaving the sky, sun, moon, and stars forgot, upward I fly, still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee.
Amen. Brother Paul, can you dismiss in prayer, please?